Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. We get to Parshas Kisisa after HaKadosh Baruch Hu has explained to Moshe all the dimensions of the Mishkan and the clay Kodesh, all the garments that Aaron has to wear. And now we come upon the time that now Moshe was instructed to go up to Har Sinai and get the Aseres HaDibros. And the Parsha starts innocently enough. And everything looks fine. And he's telling us once again about Shabbos, Shavas Vayinafash, Risham Ruvenei Yisrael Es HaShabbos, that they kept Shabbos, and everything is going along swimmingly, and everything appears to be bright, full of sunshine, so to speak. And everything is about to work out. And some of the Farshim make an interesting point over here. Why mention Shabbos again? And of course, the first thing is that after building the Mishkan, we shouldn't think that we're allowed to do anything malachas, which is so important to do, building the Mishkan, which is so important, that I might be allowed to do certain things that normally I wouldn't be able to do. But the Abarbanel makes a very interesting point and says that it has nothing to do with it. It was simply to, there are certain people who feel, I am of a point of view that I am a very strong believer on a very high Madrega personally, and I would never do anything wrong. I wouldn't fall into anything. The slippery slopes don't apply to me. So there are certain malachas that I could do personally, and as opposed to, we know there are a lot of fences that the Chachamim built because they know the average person, you know, might do something and it leads to something much worse, and which they shouldn't do, and they build fences. But the reality is the Lamates Malachos are, these are things to watch out that you don't do Malachos. And so we classify certain things that we think we'd be able to do. But if you're a great person and you think you've reached a certain Madrega, you won't fall into that pit. But the reality is, God is reminding us, V'sham Ruvenei Yisrael Es HaShabbos. Initially, everybody did exactly what they were told to do. And the blessing is, Shavas Vayinafash. There is a physical rest and a spiritual rest. We have, you could sit in your chair, but you could have tirdus of the whole week's work. But then we get to the point over here of God is giving Moshe certain commandments. And now he goes up to Har Sinai. And while he's there, it's amazing that from all the stories that we've heard, we're inundated with the Maisa Egel so many times. I always told my, Chaver, when I'm teaching a Blat Gemara, that when I ask you, it's funny. I always say, when I ask you a few questions, why do you think this punishment happened to Klal Yisrael? You could pick one of three things. It's always either from the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, or it's Mechiras Yosef, or it's the Maisa Egel. It's always one of those three things that we're paying for in the future. And these are what we have to keep in mind. And now what's interesting is suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. But what I wanted to bring to your attention is, even though we have a Kabbalah, certainly, that Moshe seemingly told Klal Yisrael that he would be on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, as we see, it says at the end of Mishpatim, Vahi Moshe Bahar, Arbor Yom Arbor Laila, but it doesn't ever say anywhere that he told Bnei Yisrael, I'm going up to Har Sinai to get the Luchos and I will be gone for 40 days. It doesn't say that. And when it says, ki vayarom, ki boshesh Moshe laredes minar, vayikalu, and they got all upset and they got nervous. The reality is they were antsy right from the get-go. Their leader, their personal leader, who they thought on some level was not even a total human being. He had to be somewhat godlike. How could it be that somebody would obviously not eat and drink and be this kind of a person who was acting like a normal person? How could somebody be gone for so long and still exist and come down again without any food or drink? He had not explained anything to them. And therefore, even if it was true, he couldn't have possibly been a human being in the true sense of the word, just like anybody else, which answers another question. Because one might think, we have to analyze every single point. One might think that if they were only, as the Ramban said, they were looking to replace Moshe and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they weren't looking to worship the eagle as an Avodah Zorah. They were looking to somebody to lead them, just like the Anani HaKavod would lead them, that Moshe was leading them, and he wasn't. He was more of a spiritual presence. And now, if that were the case, they just wanted to replace Moshe, then why wouldn't they immediately come to Aaron and say, all right, your brother Moshe is gone, and now we were hoping that you would take his place. It doesn't even ever say for 1 minute that they asked Aaron to take Moshe's place. Why not? Because they didn't think of Aaron on the same level. But the reality is there are so many other things involved over here. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, when he sees that the Egel is in its process, he says to Moshe, Lech Reid Kishi Ches Amcha, the deed is already done. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what's going on this whole time. Why does he pick now to tell Moshe? Is he waiting to see, to stop them? When you see somebody about to do something wrong, you should stop it, nip it in the bud, so to speak. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, there's a problem here. We have to stop whatever we're doing. And they're building an egel. And maybe I should send a lightning bolt down and let them know you're still alive, or somehow tell them. I mean, he spoke to Bnei Yisrael at the Har Sinai when he gave the first two of the Aseres HaDibros. They heard God's voice. He could have stopped them in their tracks. Or is it that he wants to see what happens and the reaction of the people that are down below, and to see how everything works itself out? Where does it end? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to see where we're up to in our belief system, and that's what's important. That's why every time somebody does an Avera, a lightning bolt doesn't come down and strike them, because it's only good if you want to do it out of your own free will, to do the mitzvahs, to observe the Torah. They didn't ask Aaron. But the major problem over here that I was thinking about today was that we see throughout the Chumash, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu is born until almost until the time when he strikes the rock, every time there's a problem arises and Moshe is not sure what to do, by the Yamsuf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'so, just tell them to go. Hashem is always giving Moshe instructions what to do. But more than that, Moshe approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak with him and ask him his advice about what to do next. And when the parasha says suddenly, all of a sudden, Vayikalu Vayar Ha'am Kibosheish Moshe Laredes Min Ha'ar, Vayikohel Ha'am Al Aaron, Vayomru Kumaseilanu Elohim Asher Yelchu Lifoneinu, because your brother Moshe is not coming down, the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, this leader that we have, and they're not asking Aaron to take his place. So in fact, obviously, they think of Moshe as not a normal human being. Right away, it says, "Vayomer Eliyahem Aaron." What does he say to them? Immediately, parku nizmei hazahav. This had to have been percolating for a long time. They had been getting antsy right from the time that Moshe left, and they weren't bothered at the beginning, but as the days wore on, it got worse and worse until it reaches a boiling point that after 40 days, it reaches that fever pitch. They at this point in time, convinced that Moshe is not coming back, and they need not a replacement for Moshe, but they need a replacement for what Moshe represented to them, and that's what was more like a god, something to worship. And that's how they see Moshe. But Aaron immediately gives them an answer. He doesn't say, I'll get back to you in a few minutes, and I will ask God. He maybe should have, when he says to them, Chag Lashem Mochor, we're going to make a big holiday tomorrow. The Mefarshim want to say that he was hoping that they just were getting drunk, and if they went to sleep that night, they would wake up in the morning a little bit more sober, and they would come to their senses. And by that time, perhaps his dilatory tactics, his delaying tactics would make a difference, and that Moshe would come down. But we have to realize, Ki bo shesh Moshe, it meant for a long time, because not only at the time that they came to him, it was after 40 days. If that's what we're saying, it was after 40 days. He wasn't there. It doesn't say that it was after 40 days. It doesn't say at what point in time. But the reality is they had this give and take that first day. And then he said, Chag Lashem Mochar. And they got up in the morning, and it's finally they took Parkun Izmei HaZahav. And it took, must have taken quite a while to make this Egel Masecha, to make the Egel, had to take a number of hours. So we're talking about day number two. This is quite a long time that they're waiting, but this whole feeling had to be percolating. And when Moshe comes down and breaks the Luchos, and he tells Aaron, what did you do? And Aaron answers, does he say, I'm willing, give them a break, whatever it is. And he says to Moshe, he tries to deflect his own blame. Atah yodato es ha'am ki barahu. They're a bad bunch. What could you say? They're bad people. We want to reflect that it's possibly that he's talking about the Erev Rav that are mixing amongst the people. We call the Erev Rav the mixed multitude, because they were circulating these few thousand people who were among the Mitzrayim who left with the Bnei Yisrael, and they were being rabble rousers, which is, of course, what happened, because who else would say Kizem Moshe Ha'ish? But it becomes a major problem. Why, especially when they went to bed that night and Aaron says Chag Lashem Mochar, and they go to bed, everybody goes to sleep, and Aaron doesn't say any place that he asked God to stop the proceedings. Please, God, give me direction, what I should do. The Bnei Israel want a new God. What am I supposed to do? Help me. Is Moshe on his way down? Why didn't he ever ask? He had been dealing with, he thought he understood. Moshe had a little more patience in some way. Aaron was a Rodev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom. And he thought sometimes his measures could somehow, if he was seeking peace, he could make a deal with these people and try to calm them down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, he wants to see what happens. But Aaron never went to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. Moshe always did, always. And he asked for forgiveness. Here, basically, as the vernacular would say, Aaron throws them under the bus, basically. He says, Atah yodato esam, what do you want from me? Atah yodato esam ki barahu. And Moshe says, Am kishe, he says to God, Am kishe oref. These are a stiff-necked people. But on the surface, and we always talk about the Jews being a stiff-necked people, let's ask ourselves a question. To be obstinate, to be obdurate, to be very strong-willed, most of the time, certainly in business and in many ways, that is a very good trait to have. If you hold on to that, you see it through, you do it to the end. The problem is, the problem with Am Kishe Yoref, it's good for many things, but it's not good in Yiddishkeit in terms of certainly for Chinuch HaBonim. When we're bringing up children and they are questioning things, and we'd say to them, don't ask questions, just do what you're told. You'll understand it when you're 65, maybe not, but it doesn't matter if you know it or you don't, or I have a question and you shoot it down and you're very obstinate about it. You're Am Kishe Oref. That may be a good midah in business, But in bringing up the children and bringing up the next generation, and when somebody points out something to you, I know so many times when I, you know, when we're talking to people and they say it was good enough for my father, it's good enough for me. My father was a big tzaddik. What happens Rosh Hashanah? What do we say? What is the main difference? If you take a look, if you examine the language in a conservative siddur, a conservative marza, and an orthodox regular marza that we daven in, and when we say before we say Oshamnu Bogadnu, before Al Chayit, it says Avol Anachnu Vavosenu Chotonu. In a conservative siddur, it says Avol Anachnu Chotonu. It leaves out Avosenu, because we are all so obstinate sometimes when people point out that we should do something different. My father was a tzaddik and he did it. That doesn't mean he did it b'mezit. Could be he, there are people who don't know. I see every day at my age, when we go to shir and we learn every day, I learn something new every day, and that's what I try to instill in my children. Are you smarter today than you were yesterday? And that's your obligation on a daily basis. Am Kishei Oref. It has its pluses, but it also has its drawbacks. We have to be aware of both sides of the fence. There are times when it's good to be obstinate. There are times when we have to soften our stance. And that's why when Moshe came down and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though God told him while he was on the mountain that this is what was going on, when he saw it firsthand, Vayashlech miyadavis haluchos vayashabreim osam takasahar. The question is, what was Aaron's thought process over here? Initially, it doesn't say, it says, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechrei kishiches amecha, the people have sinned. They are destroying themselves. At the end of the story, after Aaron says, Ato yodato es ha'om ki barahu, God says, oh, really? Asher asu es ha'egel, asher asu Aaron. Even Aaron was obstinate at his time. To be Melamed Schus in terms of Aaron, certainly we would like to say he was taking one for the team. He was doing it for the greater good. He wanted to take the blame, but it doesn't appear that way to Moshe. But we might think otherwise for one simple reason. Moshe had been with his people now for 1 year. Aaron had been dealing with these people for many years before Moshe came on the scene. He had been the leader of Klal Yisrael for many years before Moshe, when Aaron was 83, when they came to Paro, probably for the last 20 years, Aaron had been their leader at this point in time and had been trying to rein them in and keep them in line. But obviously we know they were Oved Avodah Zorah, and Aaron was witness to this for so many years. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the depths of their mental state that they had been worshiping for so long. And he thought the Esem Makos, the Har Sinai, the Kriyas Yamsuf would raise them up to that level where they could accept the Torah under any circumstance. Aaron understood, Ato yodato es ha'om ki barahu. He had been living with them for so many years when Moshe was living in Midian. May we understand that as much as the Avodah Zorah, the Egel, ruined the moment for Klal Yisrael, that Moshe had to break the Luchos, why weren't they all on one tablet? There's, you know, we see he brought down two tablets, and we know on the first five, there was Bein Adam LaMokom, and the second one is Bein Adam LaChavero. The reason is Shnei Luchos Abris, when it says Vayashlech Miyadov Es HaLuchos, and it keeps calling them Shnei Luchos, because the Ten Commandments, they're all equal. The five that are Bein Adam LaMokom have no greater weight than the five that are Bein Adam LaChavero. And that's what arose from this, because On the second five is man between man and his fellow man. And the aftermath of the Egel was that Jews had to kill fellow Jews. Lo sirtzach, they led them astray and they had to kill people. So while there was the sin of the Avodah Zarah, the sin of Lo sisah shem ashav, that they built this Elohei Zahav, they also were over on both sides of the Aseres HaDibros. May we have our leaders who, while they are, we elect them sometimes because they're very strong personalities, but we would like to see sometimes when they say, I was wrong. I had a thought and I've been proven wrong. Please forgive me. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see. Tshuva is a difficult thing to do. And Moshe knew at this point in time that they crossed the line. Vayishabrem li'einechem, and he broke the luchos in front of them to show them what they could have had and what they lost. And that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to come up to Har Sinai and I'll give you a second set of luchos, it says shnei luchos avunim karishonim. There was nothing wrong with the first set of luchos. There are no stopgaps that I have to change in the Torah to avoid any problems at a later date. We're not going to make any amendments to the Constitution. The Constitution, the Aseres HaDibros, are exactly correct. The 613 mitzvos in the Torah are exactly properly said, properly explained. It's up to us to keep it. May we observe it, and by doing so, we will observe the Shabbos and all the mitzvos and reach the point where we could all say, Ivri Shabbos, Shavas Vayino Fash. We have spiritual rest, physical rest, spiritual rest. Have a good week, and may this Shabbos bring that spiritual rest too. Thank you very much.